Stories from a Hard Place is an anthology podcast. Every Thursday, R.A. Jacobson presents another story from a hard place, read by the author. Stories of loneliness and betrayal, of false hope and shattered dreams, of gifts and regrets, of love and accidental kindness. Each story follows a separate path that leads to the realization that sometimes the only solution is a lead pill. Episode 21, Passing It Forward. Usually, all 10 of the motel's windows facing Highway 11 had their drapes closed tight against the headlights of the westbound cars that glared straight into those rooms, making it nearly impossible to sleep. There weren't many cars passing. This stretch of blacktop was rarely used, but even one could ruin a night's sleep. Glenn stood in the frozen gravel drive off of Highway 11, his back to the motel, looking into the dark forest across the highway. Behind him, a single light on a pole lit the parking area. It cast long shadows in front of him into the dark. He considered his breath as it frosted into the night air. It mixed with the smoke from his cigarette. He took a drag, then flicked the butt into the dark and watched the glowing tip vanish. His jacket was open, despite the cold. He could feel its bite on his nose and fingertips. He looked into the sky above him. He was always amazed at how many stars he could see here. In the city, there were stars, but here, there were 1,000 times more. Tonight, however, the sky was dark. The stars were nowhere to be seen, and a full moon shone weakly through the heavy cloud cover. He turned and looked at the motel. The motel must have been sitting here for over 40 years, maybe longer, and it showed. He had started working here when he dropped out of college. He didn't want to go back home and hear the disappointment in his mother's voice again. A friend in his dorm had said that he knew of a job that would pay okay, and it would give him a quiet place to consider what he was going to do next. It certainly gave him time to think. Every night for the past 3 months, he sat at his desk and read and thought and smoked. He wasn't any closer to an idea than the day he'd arrived. He had begun to believe that this had been a bad idea. This motel had started to feel like a prison, like a place he would never escape. It wasn't a busy motel. Many nights, he had not one stop. A person had to be pretty tired to stop here. It wasn't welcoming. It needed paint. The office window was cracked, a small sliver of glass missing. Years ago, somebody had taped over the hole with masking tape. The tape had all but disintegrated. Motel, written in big block letters on the roof, had a horror movie feel. Many of the bulbs that shone up on the wooden painted letters were burnt out or on their last days. The tiny neon office sign was barely visible. He looked at the single black window. It reminded him of a missing tooth. It was the second to the last window. It was room 9. He wanted to go check, yet he also did not want to. He was unsure what he would find. He would have to check soon, but not yet. He stared at the black window. With an animal shake, he walked back to the office. He sat in his chair and stared out the window. Nights were quiet. He had been on the night shift from day one. The owner of the motel had asked him if he was okay with the night shift. Glenn said it was perfect. He needed time to think. The man had laughed, "Well, you'll get plenty of time for that," and hired him. Glenn pulled out his Jack Reacher novel that he'd found in a used bookstore. It was dog-eared and had cost him a buck. He had read it before, but he enjoyed the security of a world where one man could be that sure, that untroubled by anything. He read and reread the same paragraph, and in frustration he put the book down. He leaned back in his chair. It creaked and threatened to tip over backwards. He was doing his best not to think about room 9, not to think about what was in there. He sat for as long as he could. He put the "back in a minute" sign on the window and walked down the building. He stood looking at the door with the 9 on it. knocked lightly, then opened the door. It was dark in the room except for the light that came in from the yard. "Hello?" he whispered to the dark. There was no response. The bathroom door opened, and light flooded out. A dream walked out, carried by the light. He stared, his mouth open. She was a vision out of his deepest fantasies. The woman, unselfconsciously naked except for the towel around her head, smiled at him. "Hello," she said. She pulled the towel off and bent forward to dry her hair. "Are you okay?" he asked. "Oh, I'm fine. Much better. Thank you. And thank you for letting me stay here."
No problem," he said.
"I don't have any clothes that will fit you, but I brought you a pair of coveralls."
"Oh, thank you. That's great."
She stepped forward and took the rolled-up bundle. They were used and smelled of oil and varsol. She unrolled the coveralls, stepped into the legs, and pulled them over her shoulders. He should look away. He shouldn't stare. But he couldn't pull away. He was mesmerized. Her ribs pushed up and forward as she pulled her arms into the sleeves. She bent and rolled the long pant legs, first one leg, then the other. Once done, she stood straight and started to roll up the sleeves. The zipper was still undone, opened. One breast teased him as it popped in and out of view. Once the sleeves were rolled up, she pulled the zipper up to her neck. He felt a pang of loss. "You should close the curtains," he said, pointing at them. She looked at him, puzzled, then said, "Okay." She walked past him and closed the curtains. "Do you need anything? Are you hungry?" he asked.
"No, I don't think so," she responded, again the puzzled look.
"You look a lot better," he said.
"I do?"
Now it was his turn to look puzzled. He remembered how he'd found her. He had slipped out back for a smoke, and she had been laying in the snow. The snow was stained red from the blood. Her clothing was shredded and mostly torn away, as was her flesh. She was drenched in blood. He was sure she was dead. Then her eyes flashed open. He went to her. He didn't know what to do. She looked bad. He reached for her, then stopped, afraid to touch her. "It's okay. I'll call an ambulance."
"No,"
she said, and had grabbed his hand with such force it had hurt.
"But you're hurt," he said, looking around, trying to decide what to do. "It's not as bad as it looks. I just need a place to clean up and maybe sleep," she said.
She rolled slightly to her left and pushed herself upright. He rushed forward and helped her to her feet. She was tiny. He held her up and walked her to the closest room. He opened the room and switched on the light. She flinched and screamed, "No! No light!" "Okay, okay," he said, turning the light off. He had seen her, though. In that brief light, had seen the deep gashes on her back and her chest that were still bleeding. She was cut up pretty badly. He winced as he laid her down on the bed, partly from the pain it caused her, and partly from the blood that was certainly going to be soaking into the bedding. He wasn't sure how he was going to explain that. She whimpered and curled into a fetal pose and fell asleep. He stood looking at her. He really should call the cops or something. This was nuts. He was in so much trouble. Her hand reached out and grasped his.
"Thank you. Just a little time. It'll be all okay," she said.
She held his hand. He stood still for a long time. Her hand slipped as she fell into a deeper sleep. He watched her breathing. It was rhythmic and steady. He turned and left for a smoke. Remembering this, he exclaimed, "You were all cut up when I found you." She looked at him. "Oh, that. It looked far worse than it was," she smiled.
"It looked pretty bad. You had very deep gashes on your back and your chest. I saw them," he said, suddenly not as sure as he had been a few minutes ago.
"Well, you just saw me," she smiled, tipping her head down slightly. "I looked all right, didn't I?" "Yes," he said, blushing. She smiled, enjoying his discomfort. She sat on the edge of the bed. "What happened to you?" he asked. Her smile slipped, then returned as bright as ever.
"Oh, it was a misunderstanding. My father, Wait, your dad did that to you? He said, shocked.
No, well, not really. She looked down at her hands. It was not his fault.
What do you mean? Did he do this?
Well, what he did, he didn't know he did. He didn't know what he gave me. And that was a while ago. Besides, he bit a lead pill a couple of months back, so it's not really important anymore. She laughed lightly. I guess it wasn't lead. A silver pill, then? She smiled at her private joke. He looked at her, baffled by how she could defend her dad if he was responsible for what he had seen. Glenn, right? She stood and moved close to him. Yes, Glenn, he said. She moved closer still. I need you to help me, Glenn. She put her hand on his chest. I need a place to stay for a couple of days. You can't stay here. I'm sorry. My shift ends at 6. I just need a couple of days. Can I come home with you? She slid her arm up and around his neck. Just for a couple of days. It's not much, he said, thinking about the small house he had rented. It was tiny. It'll be perfect. She pulled him down to him and kissed him. I guess you can come, he mumbled. She kissed him again, jumped, and wrapped her legs around him. He returned her smile. But first, I have to clean this room, he said, looking about. I can help, she said brightly. The comforter was soaked with blood. There was a single, small, barefoot print in blood on the carpet. He wasn't sure what he was going to do about that, but the comforter and the sheets he could replace from the storeroom. He couldn't leave them in the laundry. There would be questions. He'd have to take them home and wash them at the laundromat and return them clean. He looked at her. He realized he didn't know her name. What's your name? She laughed. Christine. Christine Rutland. Nice to meet you. She extended her small hand. He smiled and took it. You stay here, Christine. It's too cold to be traipsing around in bare feet. I'll go and get some clean bedding, he said. He hesitated, wondering if leaving her alone was such a good idea. Then, still unsure, turned and left. The storeroom was behind the office. He walked through the cold, unlocked the storeroom, and pulled the chain to turn the light on. He had to slide around the maid's cart to get the bedding. He pulled down sheets, pillowcases, and comforter. He pulled the chain, locked the door, and walked back. He glanced at his watch, still an hour before his shift ended. He opened the room to 9 and stopped. Christine was on her hands and knees in the middle of the room. At first he couldn't figure out what she was doing. Then he saw. She was licking the bloody footprint. What? He asked. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. She sat back on her heels and smiled at him. She wiped her mouth with a hand. I've just about got it all, she said with pride. He looked at the carpet. She was right. It was gone. Gross, he thought, but it worked. Slightly shaken, he moved to the bed and pulled the comforter off. Christine rose and helped. It was done in minutes. Glenn rolled up the bloody bedding. Stay here. I'll be right back, he said. Oh, just a sec. She ran to the bathroom and came back holding the remains of her clothes. Don't forget these. She held them out with 2 fingers and screwed up her nose. He took the blood-soaked rags, once again marveling how much blood she had lost, yet had no wounds on her at all. He took the bedding and rags to his truck and tossed them into the box. Leaned on the truck. It wasn't right. He looked at the sky, looking for the stars, but saw only black. Quick glance to his watch. Dave would be here soon to take over. Climbed in the truck and started it. It took a couple of turns before it fired, then roared to life. He turned the heater on high, closed the door, letting it idle. She walked back to the room. Christine was sitting on the bed. She looked up when he came in and smiled. Glenn looked around the room. It looked okay. Dave will be here soon. I'll take you to the truck. It'll be warm. You can wait there, he said. Okay, she said and stood. Your feet will freeze. I'll carry you. He stepped forward. She smiled at him and put her arms around his neck. Okay, she whispered. He picked her up easily and carried her to his truck. She opened the door and he lifted her into the truck seat. It wasn't warm, but it was getting there. He closed the truck door and started walking to the office when he saw headlights on the highway. The car slowed, signaled, and turned into the parking lot. It was Dave, slightly early as always. He pulled his Ford up to the office, shut it off, and stepped out. "Morning," Glenn said. Dave looked at him, frowned. "Morning." He wasn't a morning person. He needed several cups of coffee in about an hour to come alive. "Nothing's changed, only those two guys from the plant in 11 and 12, Glenn said. "Okay," Dave responded and walked into the office, Glenn following. Glenn watched Dave hang up his coat, sit, and adjust things the way he liked it. He handed Glenn his dog-eared paperback with a look of distaste. "Okay, have a good morning," Dave said. "You too," Glenn said and left the office. Glenn walked to his truck, his boots squeaking on the snow. It always seemed colder just before dawn. The cab was warm when he climbed in. Christine smiled at him. She waited till he settled in his seat, then she slid across the seat to sit right beside him. It made him feel special. The truck was an old standard Chevy with a long stick that stood straight up from the floorboards. He pulled the stick back in reverse. His fingers stroked her thigh. She pushed forward into his fingers. His body reacted like he had never felt it before. For a second, he was flustered, confusion washing over him. He shook slightly, pushed the truck into first, and pulled out onto the highway. Glenn had rented a cabin not far from the motel. They were only a few minutes on the highway when Christine pulled her legs up and slid her head into Glenn's lap and fell asleep. Overwhelmed by the coveralls, she looked like a child. Glenn looked at her quiet, sleeping face. He felt a swell of a feeling he was unfamiliar with. He needed to protect her. He needed to keep her safe. When he got to the cabin, she was still asleep. He picked her up easily and carried her into the cabin. The cabin was usually rented to hunters and fishermen in the winter months, and in the summer to families on vacation. It was small, but it was all he needed. A kitchen, a bedroom, and a bathroom with a shower. It didn't have much in the way of hot water, but enough. In the main room was a small pot-bellied stove. He put her down on the old blue couch and set to lighting a fire in the stove. The cabin warmed quickly. He made his bed, then sat down beside her on the couch to wait for her to wake. He woke in bed. A sliver of sunlight edged his heavy curtains. He stretched, then jumped when a soft voice said, "Afternoon, sleepyhead. You want a coffee?" He sat up, the night before flooding back. Christine sat on the edge of his bed, smiling. "Yeah, a coffee would be great." Christine stood and skipped out of the room. She was wearing one of his sweaters. It hung off one shoulder and halfway down to her knees. She came back in a minute, smiling, carrying a mug. He took it in both hands. "Thank you," he said. "I must have been very tired. I don't remember coming to bed." "Oh, honey, when I woke, you were passed out. You look so cute," she touched his cheek. "So I put you to bed." "I don't remember," he sipped on his coffee. "You never woke. I carried you in and tucked you in." He looked down and noticed he was naked under the covers. "Yeah, I tucked you in. I thought you would be more comfortable without all those tight clothes," she grinned as he looked down. Her eyes looked at him from under her eyebrows. There was mischief in those eyes. "You undressed me," he said. "After I carried you here," she smiled, her head coming up. "Wait, what do you mean, you carried me?" "I'm stronger than I look," she said proudly. He looked at her, surprised. She leaned forward. The sweater hung open, revealing her small breasts. He looked. She smiled as she took his coffee, placed it on the night table, and pulled the sweater over her head. She stood in front of him naked. He looked at her. Inside, he laughed at himself. Here is this gorgeous woman standing naked in front of him, and he was looking for half-healed cuts and scars. There was nothing. Her skin was perfect. She was perfect. Christine climbed into bed, pushing him back and down. "See? Nothing. Not a scratch. I heal quick," she said and kissed him. When he awoke, he was alone. The slit in the side of his curtain showed nothing but dark. He glanced at his watch. It was after 8. "Christine?" he called. He pushed the sheets down and went to the bathroom. While he was pissing, he caught his reflection in the vanity mirror. He had long scratches down his back. He reached around and touched them, winced, and smiled at how he had gotten them. "Christine?" He called louder this time. He walked around the small cabin looking for her, knowing she was gone. Somewhere deep inside him, a little thing broke, like a tiny spring that he never knew existed, suddenly gave way under a lifetime of strain. He walked to the window and pushed open the curtains. He looked at the snow-draped forest in the semi-dark. He stood till the sun had set, and he could see his reflection of his naked pale body. He looked at himself. He was just a man, nothing special. She was special. Out of this world special. A being so pure could never belong to someone like him. He turned from the window and got dressed. It would be soon time to go to work. But it wasn't. He had hours to wait and nothing to fill them with. He sat on his couch as the cabin cooled. The fire had died long ago. He knew he should restart the fire. He knew he should eat something. He sat staring at nothing until it was time to go. He pulled on his coat and his boots and trudged to the truck. With a groan, he realized he had forgotten to plug it in. The truck barely turned over. At first, he was sure it wouldn't start, but finally, with a roar, it came to life. He breathed white into the cab. He drove to the motel and fell into his routine. His shift passed without excitement. On his drive home, an idea popped into his mind. Maybe she was there waiting for me. He pushed hard on the accelerator. The old truck growled as it shifted down. He skidded into the campsite and stopped in front of the cabin, threw the truck door open and raced to the door. Inside, it was cold and dark. She was not there. He stood in the middle of the room. He walked to the couch and sat. After a couple minutes, he lay down. His coat was still on. He pulled his booted feet up onto the couch and fell asleep. "Glenn?" The voice of a man's coming from outside. Glenn heard it. He ignored it. He was tired. He just wanted to sleep. "Glenn?" The voice was closer. Then the voice was right beside him. "Glenn, what the fuck? You're going to freeze!" he yelled, shaking Glenn. He pulled Glenn to a sitting position. "Wake up!" "I'm tired. Just let me sleep," Glenn said, or thought he had. It came out as unintelligible mumbles. "Glenn, wake up!" the man yelled again. He shook Glenn. "Fuck! I gotta get you warmed up." He rushed to the stove, slamming the door shut as he passed. He got the fire burning, went to the kitchen and turned on the elements and the stove, leaving the oven door open. He raced around the cottage, opening curtains to let in the sunlight. Glenn had slid back down into a prone position. The man sat him upright again. "Glenn, wake up! You can't sleep now!" the man yelled. Glenn tried to push the man away. He felt drunk, his movements clumsy. The man slapped him across the face hard. His eyes popped open, startled. "What?" he managed to say. It took some work. The man finally got Glenn on his feet. He stumbled around with the man's arms helping. They walked till the man was sweating and Glenn was moving on his own. The cabin was warm. Glenn recognized his savior. It was Sam, the old guy he had rented the cabin from. "I saw your truck with the door open. Then I saw the cabin door open, too. What the fuck are you thinking?" Sam asked. Glenn looked at Sam. "I was just tired. It was a long shift." "Well, pretty fucking stupid," he said. He looked around the cabin. "Okay. You okay?" Yeah, I'm good, thank you," Glenn said. Sam grunted and left. Glenn shut off the stove and the oven. He undressed, had a warm shower till the water became cold, crawled into bed and went to sleep. It was night when he woke. He hadn't drawn the curtains, and the blackness surrounded the cabin. He slipped out of bed, hugged himself against the chill of the air, and put some wood in the stove. It was down to embers, but he got it burning quickly. He went to the window to look at the stars through the trees. He could see very few because of the moon, full and bright, dominated the sky. He looked at the moon. It seemed so close. In the cold night air, it had an intensity that seemed to almost have heat to it. He felt the pull of it like vertigo. A shape caught his eye as he was looking up. It crossed a yard between the cabin and his truck. The moonlight outlined the shape. He wasn't sure what it was, an animal, maybe a dog or a bear. It was dark, fur-covered, and moved quickly past the truck into the trees where it vanished. It could have been anything. He was living in the boonies. He turned back to the room, checked his watch. It was nearly time to go to work. He crossed the floor, dressed, and pulled his coat and boots on. Outside, he looked for tracks in the snow. He found too many to decipher anything from them. Once again, he had forgotten to plug the truck in. He turned the ignition and was rewarded with a dull click. He tried a couple more times. He was going to need a boost. He plugged the truck in, knowing it wouldn't do much good at this point. But if he wasn't going to be late, he'd have to walk over to Sam's. Late as it was, he hoped Sam was in, awake, and willing to come out and give him a boost. His feet crunched on the cold, hard-packed snow. He shoved his hands deep in his pockets, hunched over against the cold. The hair in his nose seemed to freeze. It took a few minutes to get to Sam's. Glenn was happy to see the house was lit up. A noise off to his right in the trees made him turn. Something was following him, walking in the deep snow there. He walked faster. The footfalls didn't speed up, but neither did they stop. He was nearly running by the time he got to Sam's front door. Whatever was pacing him had stopped. He could no longer hear it in the trees. He knocked on Sam's door and heard Sam curse from inside. The door flew open. Sam stood in the doorway, glaring but softened when he recognized Glenn.
"Oh, it's you. You okay?"
Sam asked.
"Yes, I'm good. Thanks again. That was stupid," Glenn said.
"It sure the fuck was," Sam said. "What do you need?"
"I'm sorry to bug you with all this, but my truck. I didn't plug it in, so..." "So you need a boost. Okay, no problem. Step inside while I get my coat and boots on." Sam turned from the door, leaving the door open for Glenn to walk in. He followed, glancing behind at the trees. He didn't see anything. Sam's house was nothing like his cabins. It was a real home. From where Glenn stood, watching Sam pull his jacket on, he could see Sam's wife. He couldn't remember her name. The room she was in was dark except for the glow of the TV.
"I'm going to give Glenn a boost," Sam called out.
"Okay.
Is he okay?"
Sam's wife asked.
"I'm good, thanks," Glenn said. "I'm glad to hear it. Stay warm."
"Back in a second,"
Sam said as he opened the door to his right that led to the garage. Glenn followed, closing the door behind him. It only took a minute to drive over in Glenn's truck. Sam nosed in tight to it. They got out, opened their hoods, and hooked up the cables that Sam had pulled from behind the seat. Glenn climbed into the cab, and the engine started after a few tries. He left it idling, jumped out to help, but Sam had the cables unhooked and rolled up already.
"Thanks, Sam. You're a lifesaver."
"Yep, more than once," Sam smiled. "Don't make it a habit."
"No, sir, I won't," Glenn chuckled.
Glenn climbed in the cab of his truck as Sam drove away. It was already warming up. Drove to work, his mind on Christine. He had so many questions. He couldn't stop thinking about her. He got to the motel and settled into his shift. He picked up his book again. He put it down when he reread the same paragraph 3 times and still couldn't remember what it was about. He just couldn't concentrate. Staring into the night, he shivered. It was so cold and dark. To be out in that, alone and hurt, it terrified him. Something moved just out of sight, a slight, less dark shape against the black. He stood and looked harder. There was something there. He pulled on his coat, grabbed a flashlight, and walked outside. He pointed the flashlight's beam into the black past the parking lot's light. It found nothing. Kept moving forward till he reached the edge of the light. The flashlight beam pushed against the dark. 2 red dots in the black. He stared, not knowing what he was looking at. Then the red dots blinked. Glenn stepped back a pace. The red eyes stared at him, steady, calmly. He took another step backward. From the dark, he heard a low growl. So low, so slow, it was a series of bass note clicks. He stopped. He realized that the animal he was looking at was either very large or in a tree. The eyes were more than a head taller than himself. He hoped it was in a tree. The growl came, so low he felt it rather than heard it. He stepped backwards. The creature stepped forward, the moonlight catching the top of its head. It was not a small creature in a tree. Its large, triangular head could just be seen. It had very tall, pointed ears with tufts of hair at the tip, making them look even taller and thinner. He stood, eyes wide, mouth agape. When the growl came again, he turned and ran. He ran flat out, like a hound of hell was on his tail. And maybe it was. He tripped in the middle of the parking lot. He fell hard, skidding on the frozen gravel. He rolled onto his back, expecting fangs to snatch at him, claws to tear at him. Nothing. No claws, no fangs, and no red eyes. Only the dark. Suddenly, the air was filled with a roar and a brightness surrounded him. He crabbed backwards as the truck skidded to a stop, narrowly missing him. The driver jumped out of the truck.
"What in hell are you doing on the ground? Damn near run you over!"
the driver yelled. Glenn looked past the driver to the dark in the forest.
"What's wrong with you? You drunk or something?"
No, sorry, just slipped," Glenn said.
"Well, it's a good way to get yourself killed."
The black mass that flew out of the dark smashed into the driver with such force it lifted the side of the truck up, threatening to tip it over and pushing it sideways several feet. The driver had time enough to scream once, then the inside of the truck's windshield was hosed with blood. The truck shook violently as sounds of rending and tearing mixed with low snarls filled the parking lot. Glenn scrambled to his feet and raced to the office. He slammed the door behind him, grabbed the phone, and dialed 911. "This is Glenn at the motel on 89. There's a wolf or a bear attacking a man in the parking lot." From where Glenn stood, the phone to his ear, only partially hearing the woman on the other end of the line saying they were sending someone, he watched the truck shake. He stopped listening completely when the truck went still. His arm sank, still holding the receiver. From around the truck stepped a wolf, but unlike any wolf he had ever seen. It had huge hackles, long ears, and a thin, tapering snout. Its red eyes looked at him. It was tall, standing taller than he was, on surprisingly thin, almost delicate legs that ended in large paws. It stood still for what seemed a long time. Then its ears perked, its lips pulled back to reveal extremely long canines. It growled low and turned to disappear into the dark trees. Glenn stood for several minutes until he heard sirens coming down the highway. He became aware he still held the receiver at his side. He brought it to his ear. The woman was frantic. "Yes," he said calmly, and hung up. The two cop cars came screaming into the parking lot seconds later. The blue and red flashing lights bathed the parking lot in a weird festive atmosphere. He walked out of the office, slow and calm.
"You Glenn?"
the young cop called.
"Yes,"
Glenn said as he walked towards him.
"Where's the attack?"
"Yes," Glenn said, pointing at the truck. He watched the two officers walk to the truck. They both swore when they saw what was there. One gagged, but didn't throw up. The remaining two officers nervously joined them. They turned on Glenn, demanding to know what happened. He told them, calm and detached. Then he told them again. More cops arrived, as well as an ambulance. It was crowded. Absently, Glenn thought he wasn't going to have any customers tonight. His boss would be pissed. It wasn't his fault, he thought indignantly. He overheard one of the cops, who seemed to be in charge, complaining.
"This is the worst fucking day. Starting with some young girl going on a killing spree with a kitchen knife? Sliced up her boyfriend, now this? I fucking hate full moons. It brings on the crazy."
Glenn was asked several more times what he had seen. By the time they said he could go home, the sun was up. His boss was stomping around, trying to get this mess cleaned up as soon as possible so he could get back to business. He wasn't having much luck. He didn't talk to Glenn, just nodded. Glenn drove to his cabin slowly, pulled up in front, plugged the truck in as he walked to his door. Inside, he walked straight to his bed, crawled in fully dressed, and went to sleep. It was late afternoon when he woke to a noise. He climbed out of bed and walked to the main room. Christine sat there on the couch in his dirty, too big overalls. "Christine?" he said. She looked at him. There was sadness in her eyes. "Hi, Glenn. Miss me?" "Christine, where'd you go?" She shook her head. "Oh, I've been around." He wanted to go to her, to pick her up, to hold her, but something in her voice made him stay where he was. "I'm sorry. I thought I could do it. I thought I could stay away. You are so kind, so loving, and it's not fair, but I like you." She stood and stepped towards him. "My father didn't know what he did. He thought he was doing what he had to. He was wrong, but I never got to tell him." She stopped in the middle of the room and glanced out the window at the creeping twilight. "I don't want to be alone. My last boyfriend wasn't nice to me when the change came over him. I fixed him earlier today." She smiled and started to unzip the coveralls. "I want you to be with me. I'm sorry, there's only one way you and I can be together." She let the coveralls fall to the floor. She stood in the half light, beautiful, pale, and naked. Glenn's eyes traced her body. He felt himself stir. Something shifted. It must be the failing light. She looked taller. She jerked. Then she bent over like she was in pain. Her long hair fell forward. The light slipped into darkness. She growled low. When she stood, two red eyes regarded him. He stood frozen, trying to understand what had just happened. She leapt. I hope you enjoyed Passing It Forward. Tune in next week for Radio SHP 666, Back Road Radio, the voice of Hard Place. By Noah Zachron. Production copyright by R.A. Jacobson 2021. If you would like to support Stories from a Hard Place, please go to patreon.com/hardplace. If you'd like a book version, either ebook or print, you can find it on Amazon. You can find links to all these and much more at Dead Cat Studio. That's deadcatstud.io. Thanks for listening. Keep the shining side up.